Thank you all. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 1 John 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 5. Looking at verses 1 to 5. Before we dive in, let's pray. Father, we come this time. Open up your word. Father, may your word move in power and those who are dead come to life. Father, may we rejoice in the gospel this morning. Be strengthened in the gospel. All this for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John 5, 1 John 5, verses 1 to 5. God's Word says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Are you burdened by the things of this world? Are you worn down? Are you going through the motions? Where is your hope? If someone were to examine your life, what would they say about you? Do you live for the things of this world, or are you striving to be obedient to Christ? This morning's passage should help us reflect upon these questions and many other questions that this life brings. And this morning, we see that John, he is writing this letter to Christians so that they may know the faith, that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah. And so John is guarding readers against false teaching and false hopes, and he's writing to them that they may place their rest in Jesus alone. So Scripture is reminding us of the hope offered in the gospel. We see in this passage that Christians are those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the true King, that He is our kinsman redeemer. Christians have been born of God, or they've been born again. And because they've been born again, they love God. They love His commands. They love His people. And by faith, those who confess Jesus overcome the world. In these five verses, the new birth is mentioned three times. Twice in verse 1, born of God and born of Him. And then again in verse 4, everyone who has been born of God. And our faith is what frames this passage this morning and is seen as the main point of this passage. If you do not have faith in Christ, then you don't have anything. But if you have faith in Christ, you're united to Him and He has given you victory over sin and death. And beloved, the Christian faith, it is not blind. We've been given eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. So Christians show we've been born again by God when we love one another and when we obey the Lord's commands. True faith is not just surface level. And John wants true believers to know that they are children of God. It is our faith alone. It's our faith alone that we receive the benefits of the gospel. our faith that is rooted in our King. It's not the amount of faith that saves, but it's our faith placed in the person and work of Christ that saves. And faith, love, obedience, they're the outflowing of the Christian life. It's an outflowing of the new birth from above. So this morning in this passage, we'll see and look at 3 points. Our faith leads to love for Christ. Then our faith leads to love for His commands and for His people. And then our faith, finally, in our King overcomes the world. Those are our 3 points this morning. So point one is found in verse 1. Our faith leads to a love for Christ. Our faith leads to a love for Christ. Let's reread verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Simply, in this verse, we are to believe on the Lord Jesus for salvation. Some religions advocate that Jesus existed. Some say that Jesus was just a good person. But if you are a Christian, you believe that Jesus is the one who saves, that He is the Christ, the Messiah. There's a massive difference in this belief from that of other religions. One believes Jesus is the Redeemer. The other believes that Christ was just a good person. And believing that Jesus is just a good person is a mere insult to Him. But we can rejoice this morning, beloved, because believing is the benefit of the new birth. The Lord has worked in us and caused this new birth. We recognize this promised Messiah of the Old Testament. He's the Messiah our Scriptures speak of. He's the promised seed of the woman from Genesis 3:15. He's the prophet like Moses from Deuteronomy 18. He's our priest who has made the atonement for sin once for all from Leviticus 16. He's our King who is seated on the throne and His enemies will be made a footstool forever from Psalm 110. So whoever confesses Christ is Lord has been born and has been changed by God. God has taken this old rebellious heart of stone that hated His ways. And for those who believe, God has given a new heart that desires to glorify Him. If you've been born again, you believe that Jesus is the only way for salvation. He is the Lord over your life. He is in control. You cannot be neutral. Either Jesus is your Lord and you're obedient to Him, or you're not. You cannot be half and half. In the new birth from above, you cannot be half in the world and half in Christ. So one's nature is changed if they've been born again. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. And it's the change, it's this change that the Lord has wrought. He has brought about. If you are born again, you are a new creature with new desires, wanting to live for your King. The object of your faith, of our faith, is our King. Jesus is our rest. He's our Redeemer. He's our reward, sustainer, life giver. He is our all in all. And it's by faith alone in Him that we're saved. You've placed your hope in Jesus, not works, not people, not your strength or endurance, not false gods, but Jesus, the King. And what is a way we can see this evidence of the new birth? Look at what someone loves. Look at what someone loves. Do you still love the things of this world? Your image, your home, your work, your possessions. Are those the pursuits of your life? Or do you love the things of God? Danny Akin said, Jesus did not come to die on a bloody cross to make us kinder and nicer persons. He came to dramatically, personally, and radically, and eternally transform us and make us new people. It's by the new birth that He accomplishes this glorious work. Therefore, you must be born again. Those who've been born again, they desire the gospel to be preached and proclaimed. It's the fount where we find life. And it's the fount where we go back to day after day. If you've come to faith in Christ, you're also a part of His blood-bought community, His church. And so our faith leads to a love for Christ. Our faith leads to a love for Christ. And those who have been born of God love God's people and God's commands. That's our second point for this morning. Our faith leads to a love for His commands and for His people. Let's read again verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In verses 2 and 3, Scripture is pointing back to the call from chapter 4, verse 21. Chapter 4, verse 21 says, And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If we've been born of God, we love His people. We love His people. If we do not love other believers, this is evidence that we have not been born again. And our love for brothers and sisters shows that one truly loves God because they love the family of God. We visibly see this on display in the local church. There's a genuine care, a love, an affection shown in the family of God. Our world tries to mimic what we have in this family, whether it's by clubs or the sports teams one pulls for. But these things, they have nothing. They have nothing on the family of God. The local church is not an angry family at Thanksgiving dinner. But we are a people who fight together for the good of each other. We know the war. We know the war. And we're striving to keep each other focused. If you're suffering, if you have doubts, if you have struggles, if you have successes, if this has been a terrible week, we're able to come together as a local church and say, give me the Scriptures so that I may see King Jesus. This is what we have together. This is what we have together. Those who are born of God love His people and His commands. They love His people and His commands. Keeping the commands of God are important in the Christian life. If we truly love God, we will follow His commands. You're living a life. You're living a life to honor Him. You are His. He does not comply to you. You comply to Him. And beloved, the Bible is not a textbook. The Bible is a fountain of life for the believer. Psalm 119, 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We cannot love God and be indifferent to His Word. Loved also His commands. His commands are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. If we love God, we will strive to follow His commands. But God's commands are burdensome to the world. To the world, marriage can be a burden. Love, the commands of marriage, love, the things of life, they are a burden. But for the Christian, God's commands, God's words are a delight. We are joyful and eager to keep His word and commands. We love Him. We want to know Him. It's impossible to love God and be indifferent to His word. His commands are a delight and a joy for His people. And Scripture here is pointing us back to Scripture. We cannot separate Christ from His word. If you don't want to keep His commands, are you united to Him in faith? It's not possible for you to love King Jesus and yet your life not reflect that. Your life reflects whom you love. And His love and commands are not a burden. They're not a burden for the believer, but a delight. One of the commandments that 1 John 5 is addressing is the love for others. Is your life reflecting? Is your life reflecting that you've been changed by God? Then you will obey and keep His commandments. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Those who are in Christ, we have been brought to the King's feast. And at the King's feast, we are all beggars who've been washed in the grace of the King. The King has given His people His decree in these 66 books, His commands, to know Him, to follow Him, and to live for Him. What beggar who does not even deserve the crumbs off the floor of the feast, yet has been graciously given a seat, rejects the King's commands? The King has been gracious. Hold fast to the word. Hold fast to His decree. Those who hold fast to Christ, who love His commands and His people, will overcome the world. Our last point this morning, that those who place their faith in Christ overcome the world. Those who place their faith in Christ overcome the world. Let's read verses 4 and 5. For everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Everyone born of God or born again overcomes the world. For those in Christ, is this not good news? Is this not good news? Those in the trenches are able to hear this. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Christ has defeated sin and the grave. And for those who have been born of Him, He has given us this victory. It is by Him. It is by Him that we overcome the world. And this is the rally cry for the Christian. But John here, he's also pointing out that the world is lacking. This world is lacking. It's not that the world fails to offer things, but it's that the world's offer to victory and for victory, it is not sufficient. What the world offers is like an ice cream cone on a hot summer day. It's appealing, Then you get this cone, and it's already melting. And before you know, it's all melted, gone and wasted away. That is what the world is offering. And some of us have bought in. But for those in Christ, we're able to say, the Lord is our portion. It's in Him we trust. He's our passion. We're not assured of the world, but we are assured of our King. He's brought us to this table of grace. What more could you ask for? He's given us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Beloved, our hope is not here. Our hope is not in this country. It's not in this soil. It's not in this life. So, beloved, where are we placing our faith? I hope we're placing our faith in our King. He has given His people the victory over sin and death. And John, here, he does not say your faith. He says our faith. It is our faith. We are in this together. We are in this together, walking hand in hand together. In this passage, it addresses this victory. What is this victory that the Christian has? It is Christ. Christ. Think about the context of the early church. Christians were being taken from their homes and forced to participate in Nero's circus, and they were killed for their faith. Where is their victory? Where is their victory? It's in Christ. It's in the Messiah, the King who has come. That's where our victory is found. To receive the gospel and to be born of God is the victory. This is what Christ has given to His people. In 1 John 3, verse 8, Jesus has destroyed the work of Satan. How did He destroy the works of Satan? He bore the sins of His people upon the cross. So the one who overcomes the world is the one who has conquered. The Christian's victory, it does not come from us. It comes from our King. We're placing our trust, our faith in our King alone. Jesus lived a perfect life in our place, dying in our place for our sin, bearing God's wrath and justice against our sin, rising again from the grave, so that those who confess Christ as Lord, we will be raised on the last day. He's our substitute and our kinsman redeemer. So those who come to Him by faith, they're given. We are given His righteousness and this victory. Christ has graciously given this to you. And will there continue to be a fight against sin in this life? We continue to war against sin? Yes. Yes. We're called to be killing sin and obeying His commands. But we know the outcome of our faith. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Those in Christ are citizens of another kingdom. And only those who've been born from above will enter this new land. And right now, for those who are trusting in Christ, we are sojourners. We are sojourners in this one. And then in verse 5, we see this rhetorical question. But it's continuing. It's continuing to drive home this point that if one does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, they will not They will not overcome the world. We know for those in Christ, the one who conquers is the one who professes Him as Lord. Our culture says only weak people bend the knee to Jesus. But the ones who bend the knee to Jesus now are the ones who are truly wise. You will confess Him as Lord now in grace, or confess Him as Lord in judgment. Either way, you will confess the Son is Lord. And we weak people who confess the Son now, we are confident in our King. We are confident in our King. We are also convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. And our confidence in Christ is what prevails. So, beloved, this morning, rejoice in what God has done for His people. God has caused His people to be born again, and they overcome the world by Him. As Christians, we should see Christ as far more satisfying than anything this world has to offer. We behold Him. We want to know Him more. This world is hostile, but Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient, and we want Him. So for our brothers and sisters in China who are losing their church buildings but are gathering in parks to worship, or the Christian who is beheaded by ISIS or Boko Haram, the Christian who is battling illnesses, or the 80-year-old believer who has lived a faithful life sharing the gospel dies in their sleep, they will overcome the world. They will overcome the world. Beloved, could this be said of us this morning? Is your faith in the King, or is your faith in this passing world? Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, and our kinsman redeemer. Beloved, we only get one life, and it will soon pass. Only what is done for King Jesus will last. Let's pray. Father, this morning, may You just remind us of this good news, what we have in Christ. May we be strengthened by it, encouraged. Renew us in the gospel. Father, may we be people who are placing our faith in our King. And it's in Him that we've been given this victory over sin and death. It's in Christ we rejoice this morning. Renew our hearts for Your glory, for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.